Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Here we are, Friday, July 10th, 9:25, talking to Ronald Surpass, our friend, professor of practice in the Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola. And of course, the former NOPD chief. Morning, sir. How are you?
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm okay. Your thoughts on what you're seeing going on around the country post George Floyd, both in terms of police actions and reactions to the police?
I think one thing to remember is this is a huge country and the focus is on a lot of the bigger cities, but across the whole country, it's really hard to tell what might be the case. But in the larger cities, the argument that some members of our community, African-American community, have been treated unfairly by police is an issue that I don't think anybody can deny has some support and has a reason to be considered very carefully. And as we think about, you know, oftentimes you hear political leaders say that we should have evidence-based policing. Well, the problem is we really don't have a lot of evidence to suggest that many of the things that are being questioned and asked for now have made a difference. So I think we got a lot of work left to do. Secondly, our police officers in the nation are like every profession on earth. You got some people who don't deserve to be there, and you have a whole lot of people who deserve to be there. And in some of these debates nationwide, we're not seeing anyone, particularly political leaders, making a strong enough case to suggest, you know, we literally can't throw the baby out with the bathwater here. Let's focus on the officers who have done things that are not appropriate, but let's continue to support those who have done all the right things. Third, when it comes to this defund issue, nobody's really defined it very well. I just saw a news report that Seattle Council has a majority vote to defund 50% of the police department. That sounds punitive. It sounds like what they're saying is they want to put more of that towards healthcare and all these other issues, which are very important to all of our communities. But the councils vote on that every single year. So in some ways, it seems it's a punitive measure, because if the council in a place like Seattle, for example, was really serious and had been considering using more of their available funds away from policing to put it to all these other programs, why haven't they been doing it? So I think it kind of speaks to what the motivation may be. Those things need to be done, by the way. But why haven't they done it?
I just don't get how a knee-jerk reaction like that, and I'm not trying to say that everything is perfect in a police department, but how you just, against the time frame of immediately make a radical change like that and think that it's actually going to work. Has anybody proffered any scenario under which this works immediately or in
no,
the short term?
Because it doesn't, because the arguments are competing and they're important. One, do we need better health care systems for mentally ill? Absolutely. But that's been going on since 1964 or 63, when President Kennedy signed an act that defunded federal support of mental health care to move its community health centers. That never happened. Do we need better education? Do we need better economic systems? Of course we do. But if a police department is spending about 90% of its time responding to those events that the government said you are the first responder, that has nothing to do with violent crime, then what happens is if you cut 50% of the police department, what are all those services that are going to be cut that you've made the police the first responder? And if that's the case, but it's not well thought out yet, you know, who's going to handle many of these complaints in neighborhoods where people are saying, I pay taxes and I'm very upset about what's going on. I'm upset that Black Lives Matter has made a good argument that people are being killed, but I still pay taxes in my community and I still expect the police to do what it is I need done in my business when someone breaks into it. Or so, Tommy, none of it seems to be well thought out, which makes you wonder what the true motivation is versus the true need of shifting funds to mental health, drug and alcohol addiction, which makes a lot of sense.
I think the obvious answer is politics and not act, not pragmatism. I guess. Well, political pragmatism and not actual pragmatism in solving whatever problems exist. Where does go ahead if you want to say something about that.
Where does what?
No. Oh, where does? Oh. You go ahead.
No, I'm waiting for your question. I'm sorry.
All right. Where does perception fit into all of this? Because, again, you're talking about punitive. Well, a message sent from the councils or city managers or what have you, whatever the governmental structure is, you did something wrong. We're taking money away from you. We're punishing you. You look at TV producers, and they can put whatever they want on television. And I guess if it's commercially viable, somebody else will pick it up. But the cancellations, the knee-jerk cancellations of Cops, which maybe was on its last leg. It had a very good run on Fox, but this live PD show was being was doing pretty well, and people seemed to like that. It just seems like, have you ever been divorced, Ronald?
Yes, I have.
So you know, going home and saying the first words out of your mouth to your wife, what's your problem? What are you upset about? That's not a good way to start any interaction. It's not. And I've got the empty house to prove it. And here's my point in saying that, in terms of perception, it just seems as though somehow the media has changed the perception of every police officer to being bad. And I got to believe that in some ways that could influence the way people on the street begin to react to police officers, not giving them the benefit of the doubt. And then we got even more problems than before.
And I think what helps explain that is the last research I saw on this done a second time suggests to us that 80% of Twitter traffic is driven by 10% of the users.
Wow.
80% of the Twitter traffic is driven by 10% of the users. It's the biggest echo chamber in the history of the world. But what happens is some people would argue that the media and politicians in particular are chasing Twitter. Well, if that's true, and you know that 10% of the people are driving 80% of the talk, what are you actually learning?
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, this is a big country, and I talk to police chiefs all over America. Once you get outside the bubble, if you will, of the major cities, there are police departments and police chiefs in America that are seeing the ability to continue to grow community support and reduce crime and make big differences in their community. But if that's not happening in New York, Chicago, or Seattle, that's not the whole nation. That's just places where there needs to be focus, obviously. But I sometimes think that it's presented as if this is the whole nation. And the truth of the matter is it's a very big nation. And much of American policing has improved more in the last 30 years than any other part of the criminal justice system. No one is suggesting that it's perfect. No one is suggesting that any profession is perfect. And I think professional police officers continue to challenge themselves to be the best that they can be. But when you have a perception driven by two or three major cities, and somehow that's made to be believed by the viewers that is the nation, it's just not the case. It's just not the case. Those places needed to be fixed and then need to be issues. But think of it this way. You know, here in New Orleans, we went through a very dramatic time in the post-Katrina world and in the consent decree world. And now you read in the newspaper where very forward-leaning progressive cities like Minneapolis and Milwaukee and Chicago had policies that the NOPD got rid of in the 1980s, chokeholds, got policies that the NOPD got rid of in the 1990s, chasing cars indiscriminately across the country. So, you know, people are going to be like Tip O'Neill said, all politics is local. And right now there could be an effort to make the politics of three or four big cities all politics. I don't think it's going to sustain itself. The police are going to continue to get better, and the communities are going to continue to need the good professional service police can provide.
Let me take a second, a break here. When we come back, I want to talk about Breonna Taylor and the no-knock warrants. Yesterday, a couple of anchors, national anchors, breathlessly talking about new video, and I didn't really see anything that told me anything other than this, and maybe that goes to the echo chamber, but we'll talk specifically about no-knock warrants. 9:34, 26 before 10, more when we return. Right now we pause for traffic, and more on WWL. It is 9:40, 20 before 10. Tommy Tucker, WWL, Friday, July 10th. Tomorrow is actually an election day, and we'll talk to Secretary of State Kyle Ardoin about that in about 5 or so minutes. Right now we're talking to Ronald Surpass, professor of practice in the Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, and of course former NOPD chief. Chief, when it comes to no-knock warrants, let's look at it from both sides, okay? Let's look at it from the police side, and they don't know who's behind the... First of all, let me go back. What does it take to get a no-knock warrant? What do you have to convince a judge of?
That there's an imminent danger to life or the destruction of evidence. The entire purpose of the criminal law at this level is to protect life and protect evidence.
Okay,
otherwise,
so you,
you have to knock and announce your presence. So a common law that's been around for a long time is that you have to knock and announce your presence at a search warrant. But if you can articulate to a magistrate, which is a third neutral person, that there is a risk to life or a risk to the destruction of evidence sufficient to overcome the no-knock, the knock announcement requirements, then that's being made by a neutral third-party decision. When we talk about, like, mandatory sentencing, you remember there was a lot of frustration that mandatory sentencing, driven by the congressional actions and state actions, removed from judges the ability to deal with what they knew what was in front of them. This mm-hmm. seems to be a little bit of the same. If a judge listening to the officer says, I don't think you have a no-knock opportunity here, go knock and announce, the officer has to do it. That's the default mode. To do a no-knock, you have to make a specific rational basis argument to the judge. If you can, the judge will authorize it. If you can't, then you must knock and announce.
So you would think if everything worked as it was supposed to, which obviously later on it didn't, but in terms of getting the warrant, you would think then that the standard offered was certainly high enough to justify that. And do we know if what that standard was or if it was accurate, the standard that they presented? Because let me ask you this. If as a police officer I try to get a no-knock warrant and I'm fudging, I'm going to get caught doing that? Am I going to be in trouble?
Absolutely. You know, you're misrepresenting information to a court. That's a false or inaccurate action. And in the department, when I was chief, we put in a rule that that's a terminating offense to falsely or inaccurately write something purposefully. So what happens here is that the terrible case of a no-knock warrant, you had a few of these go on in Houston not long ago. You had this incredibly sad case in Atlanta. You had one when Chief Pennington was in it. Well, I don't know if it was a no-knock. But nonetheless, here's the point. What we have to remember is that the legislative process is meant to be deliberative and take in all the facts. The journalistic process of reporting information sometimes kind of buzzes over facts, and that's not what we should be making decisions on. That's why legislators need to have time to act responsibly with a lot of information, as opposed to passing something. Bottom line, the more we restrict from judges the authority and discretion that they have, the more likely we are to not be in a good place. Judges aren't trusted to make these decisions.
So on the other side, you know, I'm in my house and maybe they get the wrong address because I've never dealt drugs in my life, nor intend to. And somebody, the battering ram comes through my door. Nobody says anything about police. Although they're supposed to say that when they go in a house, right?
Absolutely. Even with a no-knock, okay. As you go through the door. And doesn't it make sense that you want everybody to know you're the police and you're not somebody else trying to steal from you?
So absolutely.
I'm agreeing with you. You can't excuse every error. There's people who make errors every day in this business, and that's wrong, and it needs to be fixed. But again, it's a baby and bathwater thing. No-knock warrants, when done properly and under the law and under the approval of a judge, is meant to protect life and protect evidence.
Let me get to the shootings and the uptick in gun violence in New Orleans. Is that a summertime thing? Is that a drug thing? Is it a COVID frustration thing? What are you seeing? What are your studies telling you?
I think that the increase in shootings and murders in New Orleans predated COVID. New Orleans had a very low number of murders in 2019, which was good news, but sometimes the city will revert to the mean. It'll go back a little bit, and it's perceived as a failure of something other than it's the circumstance. Secondly, candidly, when people blame violence on COVID, I think they're just looking for a reason to suggest that it's out of their control. Mm-hmm. And much of the shootings in America and much of the murders in America and much of the same in New Orleans are still the same basic kind of event. either people didn't know each other and got in a big old fight and something went wrong, or people who knew each other, more likely than not, were extracting violence against people they know. So that's a, you know, I'm not the person to believe that there's any suggestion that COVID is responsible for a 30% increase in shootings in any city. I just don't see how that adds up.
Anything you want to add before we let you go, Chief?
No, it's just, look, we are a great nation with strong police and strong courts and strong politicians. We just need to stay focused on what can really matter and not get distracted by the echo chamber of 10% of the people driving 80% of the conversation.
Thank you, sir. Have a good weekend and try to stay cool.
You too.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.